This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And first off, I just want to admit my undying love for Ed Pittman and be...
You don't really know me.
Oh, I've had such a pleasure of having a show right after Ed, and he is going to be missed most definitely by all of his listeners and us here at KZFR. Ed has been a big pillar here at the KZFR movement since the inception. So much gratitude to you, Ed. So much thankfulness for your work. Thank you. Making it possible for, you know, me to be on the air. We appreciate your work and your well-deserved retirement from being on the air. So if you see Ed out in the public, buy him a beer. Give him a high five. Tell him how amazing he is. He certainly deserves to hear all those things. Love in the 21st Century is on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. It's hosted by myself tonight, Tamara Wickma. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And tonight we will be continuing on our segment on love and social justice with Armenta Hawkins, the director of the Chico Peace and Justice Center. So stay tuned to be a part of a thought-provoking, meaningful conversation about social justice.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rallo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rallo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rallo's West is open from 5 till 9 p.m. until 10 on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. All right, welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. We're talking about love and social justice. When we often think of love in the confines of romance, reserved for the likes and dislikes of romantic interests. When in reality, love is far more expansive, far more wide-reaching, to the very core of our beings, to the widest edges of our universe. Love has so much to do with how we show up in the world, what we show up for, and why we show up. It could not seem like a more perfect time than now to explore the meaning of this love than ever. What is love for social justice? What form does it take? How do we show up for this love? Why do we show up for this love? Tonight, we're going to explore this love. What better times than these in the wake of political realities and stark truths that we are all coming to terms with? Love in the 21st Century is so pleased to host Araminta Hawkins, director of Chico Peace and Justice Center, in this meaningful dialogue on shining the light of love into the unclear future of social justice. So thank you so much, Araminta, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely.
First time on the show, known you for a while. We did boxing together.
We did.
It's cool to be on the show with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
First of all, shout out to Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
And that, okay, so I had selected some music mm-hmm. to incorporate with this interview along with the video because I think, especially particularly at this time in my life and in what's going on in the world today, that music can help us get through and motivate a lot of people to do things that they wouldn't and help them to understand maybe issues that they would not and help them get involved and energized and be a part of their community. So music is a big deal. It was a foundation in my house, and I'm playing music that my father had played in the house 24/7, and he was also a social justice community leader. People like to say social justice warrior and put a negative flick turn on it. And I think we should be proud mm-hmm. to be called social justice warriors. So when you see that on the internet with a negative connotation, just know that it's not true. And we need more social justice warriors out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is driving and driven ambition that, you know, to follow that. It's a calling, really.
It is.
And we need more people, you know, in this time more than any. I mean, in reality, the only moment we have is now. So this is the time to be showing up. But I think that a lot of people have in their hearts, you know, after the recent election, mm-hmm. that there is this call to action.
Right.
And so maybe before we dive into our questions around love right. and social justice, we can talk a little bit about that energy and what you've been experiencing or what you feel is alive right now.
Well, that's a wonderful question. And when you sent me those questions, I was talking about that with Justin Lin. He's a AVP coordinator that's working out of the Peace and Justice Center.
And AVP stands for?
Alternative to Violence Project.
Nice.
Of California.
Mm-hmm.
He works in our center and uses the space to conduct his business, and we swap interns. But we're not going to talk about that. But we have talked about issues like this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the center, because of what we do, we feel the energy. We feel the energy inside the center and outside the center. Mm-hmm. I feel the energy when I'm riding my bike through Bidwell Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of worry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of self-doubt. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, there's more internal questioning that people have now, mm-hmm. questioning their beliefs of what they thought was going to happen and what is really happening and what's the reality mm-hmm. of everybody and not some people. And some, after the election, people started to understand the reality of what certain people live in every day.
Right, absolutely. And I find it interesting because a question that's been posed to me recently, because in a lot of different groups that I'm a part of that are usually more community building in nature, it's been the focus of conversation, the political realities, because no one really expected the results mm-hmm. that came down. And so just realizing, I think, for a lot of people that this was the world we were living in mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now it's just like the illusion mm-hmm. that there isn't so many inequities. It's risen to the surface. And so now people are having to really deal with that. Like, you know, we were living, unfortunately, you know, in a really mm-hmm. pretty believable illusion mm-hmm. that things were far more accepting than they are.
Right.
And so
the veil has been lifted.
Absolutely.
For most people.
Absolutely.
You can't deny it. You can deny a person's experience that was told to you. You can deny a telephone phone call that you've listened to. You can deny video. But you cannot deny the results of the election.
Right. And what, you know, particularly what the candidate that won mm-hmm. stood for.
Right.
So, yeah, I think in these times, hopefully, you know, people are finding within them the call to action. And what I'm noticing, at least, you know, there's a couple different things that I'm noticing. I'm noticing people, yeah, in deep despair and worry mm-hmm. and frustration. And then I'm also witnessing people being called to action that mm-hmm. maybe were on the fence a bit before mm-hmm. or maybe totally not even near the fence. They were like, I'm good, I'm comfortable. And then they're like, wow, actually, I'm not as safe as I thought I was. And so in that sense, it's like, yeah, awesome. People are waking up to reality. Like, this is the world we live in. Like I said, 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
same world.
Right.
Two weeks ago,
the same world. 2 weeks ago, I was like every day I go to work, ride my bike through the park, through downtown Chico. I see the reality. I'm on my bike.
Mm-hmm.
I see conversations. I see how people are being treated. I see how there's homeless people. I see that. I see the realities of homeless teens. I have to. I go through downtown Chico. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are in cars, and that insulates you. That protects you. You can't see conversations. You can't see faces. You can't hear conversations. You can't smile to people. Not really.
Right.
So when you ride your bike, I see the reality. It's mm-hmm. at my doorstep at my job.
Right.
They come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a haven.
But the energy is there. Let's talk about, go back to the energy after the election. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. People just need to understand where they can put their energy.
Absolutely.
Communication, community. People like to throw those things out as just, you know, buzzwords. But they really mean something now, right? They do.
Right.
Community. It's not just the word. It's the people around you. It's your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's people on social media as well that you haven't probably would never seen face to face. Their community as well.
Right.
Community working together, planning together to make your environment not just for you, but for other people who don't look like you or not in the social class you are.
Right.
So society says. It's all them as well. So it's not just Chico. It's Oroville. It's Paradise. It's places that we really don't talk about. Chico's not the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is outside of Chico as well.
Right.
So communicating, bringing those communities together to produce impactful events, education opportunities.
Right.
To, you know, educate your people within your community.
Mm-hmm.
Porches were built for a reason. It was as a social thing.
Mm.
Houses don't have porches anymore.
Yeah, mine does, fortunately.
See? Yeah, there you go. Okay.
And we're porch-sitting people at my house.
Mm.
Most definitely. But yeah, I mean, that definitely brings a different perspective to community. I mean, most people don't have that many relationships with their neighbors. Though,
no, they don't. They don't speak to their neighbors.
Right.
There was a reason that we did.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason that we saw neighbors as more as family friends that could keep an eye on our kids.
Right.
When we were doing other things, we don't really have that anymore.
Right.
But there are places that do have them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of educating people, getting people involved. But you, when you need to, when to get people involved, you have to understand what motivates them,
right?
What they're excited about,
right?
Which a lot of candidates kind of lacked and didn't tap into, mm-hmm. and that's where kind of I think where we're in, why we're here right now,
right?
The itch, connecting with people,
right?
There was having no lack of connection. Yeah, having a relationship. A lot of people felt that they didn't have a relationship with a certain candidate because
right, and or they weren't represented.
Yeah,
they weren't
just,
represented
right,
by that person.
Just, so
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, good things to consider and to realize that we're in times where we building community is really going to make a difference in terms of how we feel and how we feel safe in our where we live.
So CPJC is many things, and I can talk to you forever about CPJC, but what we do really is educate and support.
Mm-hmm.
We educate our community, and we support local activists. Mm-hmm. And then we do work with activists that are not local. Mm-hmm. But it's more of, we're talking about community building, we're about that.
Mm-hmm.
Community building, building relationships, having honest discussions, and the only way we're going to do that is to be able to have empathy
right.
for another person's experiences.
Absolutely.
And listen to others. And listening is one person talking and the other person be quiet. And then vice versa.
Right.
Yeah. Not just hearing, because hearing is just like, I hear people talking, but I'm not really connecting to what they're saying.
Right.
Listening is you have to.
Right.
And you feel the person's experiences. Whether you agree with you or believe it or not,
right.
you're open-minded enough to at least have empathy for that person.
Right. I might take it even a step further and say mm-hmm. that it has a part to do too is acknowledging the emotional experience that other person is experiencing. So if you're empathetically listening to somebody mm-hmm. and they are sharing with you their frustrations, it's not mm-hmm. that you have to go, you're justified in your frustrations and you're totally, you know, but you mm-hmm. can say, I understand, or I hear
right.
your frustrations.
Right.
Like that's big part of acknowledging, not just listening, like, okay, now it's my turn to talk. Like
mm-hmm.
you got to say whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not going to, I'm going to respond to something completely
mm-hmm.
different. At first acknowledge what you've
mm-hmm.
just heard.
Yeah.
So the person like, you know, feels validated in what they're sharing
right.
with you.
That's the feedback that goes back with communication.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
interpersonal.
To touch just one last time on that energy, about just like, you know, making use of that energy right now
mm-hmm.
that is really alive. And I remember it being alive after the Occupy movement. I remember it being alive after the crash, the 2008 crash.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it being alive when George Bush was
yes.
president. And there's just like a point of
mm-hmm.
when the energy really surges. And so I think of anything to focus on, it's to focus on that energy and
mm-hmm.
what's possible
mm-hmm.
when people get activated
right.
of like, okay, enough is enough. Like things start to shift. And so,
right.
you know, I look forward to what happens
mm-hmm.
with that.
Actually, I do too. These are really interesting times.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy is happening in Chico, and I want to talk about an event that's happening tomorrow at Chico State.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young woman, I forget her name, sorry. I think her name was Jillian. She came in on Saturday to talk about helping support the walkout. First, it was going to be a protest, but now it's a walkout at Chico State, and it's going to be Wednesday, which is tomorrow, November 15th, from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Glen Lawn. So it's on campus in the lawn.
Mm.
So there's going to be various local speakers there talking about that energy, what to do with it.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, and we are also, as CPJC, doing various things to harness that energy
mm-hmm.
because when the community gets energized, we get energized too because we get volunteers
right.
that can help us further our mission and to help educate the community that we're actually talking about right now.
Right.
So every first Saturday of the month, 12:30 to 1:30 at CPJC, there is orientation for volunteers to be a CPJC volunteer. Please come in.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what motivates you and what you want to do
mm-hmm.
with this world we have now.
Right.
Tell us what you want to do, and we will plug you in.
Beautiful. Great opportunity. So the Chico Peace and Justice Center is right downtown Chico near
526 by the mailbox, by the post office, right across from Jack in the Box.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, it's a reality. It's a
fast food.
Yeah, staple.
And then also on Thursday, we have a longtime local activist named Rain, and she's going to go to Standing Rock, and it's a support dinner.
Wow, beautiful.
It's a support dinner, not for her, but for to collect supplies for her to take to Standing Rock.
Nice.
So she's leaving, I believe, next week, but the support dinner for Standing Rock is on Thursday. And I did an interview with her, and we're trying to boost our social media presence at CPJC. So we're doing podcasts now, dealing with heavy social issues, local as well as national. And then we're doing a live CPJC news update, video vlogs that you can get, soon on our website, but it's all right now on our Facebook page. And so it was a 5-minute, lovely interview with Rain.
Would you like to play it? Right
sure.
Now? Cool.
Welcome to another great interview spotlight segment for CPJC News Live. Here I have a special guest. Her name is Rain. She is a Chico local and also a longtime activist in Butte County and everywhere else. And she is going to be, I just got news that she'll be traveling to Standing Rock to do some work. So, Rain, for people who don't know what's going on at Standing Rock, but want to know, how would you explain to them?
So, basically, there is a very large pipeline being built, and it is going through the Dakotas. It's referred to usually as the Dakota Access Pipeline, mm-hmm. or the DAPL.
Right.
And it is trying to be built through land that is by treaty rights and as well as ancestral rights belongs to the Standing Rock Sioux Nation. And they're trying to put the pipeline under the Missouri River, which endangers the drinking water of millions of people downstream, as well as the Native people, the Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota people there. This is an issue of tribal sovereignty and treaty rights, indigenous rights. This is a huge environmental issue. Mm-hmm. There have been hundreds of people who have been arrested doing direct action, trying to block the pipeline. People who have been attacked by dogs, maced and pepper sprayed, and beaten in the process of doing direct action, trying to block this pipeline from being built.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, there is a semi-stall with the Army Corps of Engineers has put a stall on their permit to be able to drill under the Missouri River, but they are continuing to do construction. Mm-hmm. So they haven't done the actual drilling quite yet, but they haven't stopped their do the drilling. And President Obama has taken a very wishy-washy stance on it, saying that he's not going to do anything.
Okay.
So at this point, construction is still in process. Direct action, just yesterday, I think another 50 people were arrested. So there are thousands of people who are out there who are Standing Rock and Lakota and Dakota and all over the world, and then non-Native allies as well.
So why are you choosing to go?
I'm choosing to go because I'm compelled to act on many levels, local organizing and education, but also as someone who has the ability to go,
right.
It is a process of leveraging the privilege that I have to be able to go. So I have their gear that I don't have to raise funds to buy. I have my own vehicle to go out there to be able to bring supplies out there. I have enough flexibility in my employment and not going to lose my employment by going out there.
Okay, so there is going to be a support dinner, and that's happening November 17th at 6 p.m. here at the Peace and Justice Center. So with this
support dinner, you're hoping to people to bring supplies. What else? Oh, food's going to be cooked by Food Not Bombs.
So I am going out to North Dakota in part as a member of Chico Food Not Bombs, part of my focus is bringing bulk foods out there.
Right.
And so basically the event is a place for people to get together, talk about what's happening out there, maybe network about how to do more support work from here locally, but also to drop off supplies. So that includes things like heavy-duty tarps and winter clothing gear that people want to donate, but also bulk foods, the big cans because they're feeding lots of people, but food that people want to donate that's transportable. I'm not asking for people want to donate. They can donate directly to one of the fundraising sites, there's going to be some links for that on the Chico Peace and Justice Center website. If you go to the calendar for this event, we'll have the camps out there and the legal fund and that kind of stuff.
Could you leave us with some final thoughts of what you think the audience should take home?
I think that the paramount in this discussion is that we should always be centering that this is a Native, we should be centering Native voices. There are all kinds of alternative news sources online that you can follow and people's individual Facebook feeds that are directly affects. And also recognizing that those of us who are not Indigenous are living on occupied land.
With rain, talking about going out to Standing Rock, and
I just want to reiterate that it's a support dinner. It's not a fundraiser. 6 p.m. at CPJC.
Great, yeah. So great way to support Rain going out there, and maybe learn a bit more if you're not aware about what's going on at Standing Rock, the Chico Peace and Justice Center.
Right, and so going back to tapping into that energy, that created that event, this whole interview. It creates an idea. We all support this person, and we use creative ways to do that, to reach.
Right.
So the video.
Right.
Social media. Yeah.
Great. So I want to talk a bit about your honor and on love and social justice and how those two things work together.
Well, earlier we talked about the need of empathy. Have that in order to see the other person in strife as a person, as relatable.
Right.
In order to build trust with other people, you have to have some type of love for them.
Mm-hmm.
So love relationships build energy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you see things differently now. Maybe you might want to check out another book because they'll talk to other people about it. So it's like a ripple effect. I've seen it happen. It's happening now.
Right. And that those relationships, that energy eventually hopefully built a community of people that are supporting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at love in a way of like respecting somebody, because I think some people might go, well, that's, you know, wow. And there's a way that you respect someone, that you can see their humanity,
mm-hmm.
that you can see that they share something in common with you.
Right.
Then it creates the possibility to develop that relationship, like Araminta speaking of group, and we were talking about what we were thankful for. And at the end of it, you know, we were all writing down things that we were thankful for. We looked at all the things that we had written down, and I pointed out how many things we had in common that we were thankful for. Like how interesting that these people from various walks of life are so grateful for the same thing. So maybe we actually have more in common than we think we do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially working with things that are particularly challenging, is trying to find the humanity in whatever you're facing.
And it's very challenging, especially in a society where, you know, it's based on classism,
mm-hmm.
it's based on race.
Right.
It's based on those barriers, but it can be done.
Right.
But you need empathy, you need to respect, you need to see that person as another person just like you. They need you, honest conversation like we're having now.
Absolutely. Menta, what is CPJC working on in terms of what are the pressing social issues?
So right now, well, we kind of know right now. It's,
right.
it's kind of obvious. This is some of the
not so obvious to some people.
Well, to me,
yeah. That's why we have you here, right?
Right. To me, so
yeah.
Like I just named economic issues, class issues, which education can be under.
Mm-hmm.
Those things. The environmental issues are kind of like the umbrella, but all these other things are kind of under it, supporting, you know, why we're in this place we are in now, as far as the environment, as far as, you know, drone countries, as those people.
Right.
So actually seeing, making connections, wise, I don't know, I just really feel it's important. It's the bedrock.
As one another is the bedrock, is what you're saying?
So, seeing people, I'm thinking about so many things right now.
Right.
But just going back to the conversation we had earlier about just seeing people as human.
Right.
And relatable. But they're your neighbor. They're part of your community. You need to understand what they're going through and help them. Help the community. Help
each other
outside of your community. It stretches. Right. It's more than that. So anyway, I'm sorry. Going back to your question. Sorry.
Oh, I was just asking about the pressing issues, but you've been talking about that and touching on it, and then how CPJC relates.
These are the pressing issues that we all know about.
Right.
But as far as activism, a pressing issue is getting new activists motivated and logged into a place where they feel like they can do their good work.
Absolutely.
Meaningful work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of new activists, a lot of college graduates want meaningful work. So if you're going to be a volunteer at a nonprofit organization, that's meaningful work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's communicating to those new activists. And we were in a workshop together where we talked about that, where we talked to new activists.
Oh, absolutely.
And they said what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you remember some of them? They said they needed support.
Mm-hmm.
They needed stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
They needed guidance from older activists.
Right.
And that's so important. So reaching, and we need to know how to communicate to them, because maybe they just communicate differently than we do. Maybe they need different things than, you know, the activists who are in the game right now.
Right.
So we need to understand what they need and how to communicate to each other. Because
right.
There's a lot of, right now, I haven't really been part of the activist community in Chico just recently, but I know I was in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you know, I was doing education and working and kind of, you know, gradually got into the activists, and there are camps in the activist community. You know this.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of miscommunication between all those camps. We need to communicate better.
Right. And I just want to stretch that comment to say that there's a lot of miscommunications in general
the
world. I mean, the reality is that, you know, as any microcosm of subculture that's
right.
in this world, is that there's lots of miscommunications. And one of the big things about communication, you know, isn't necessarily just what you're saying. I mean, it's really important to, like, be, you know, articulate and to be meaningful and thoughtful with your words. But such a big part of communication is listening.
Of course.
It's just really listening to what people are saying. Not listening to just the part you want to hear, or listening until you hear something and then stopping or editing what somebody's saying. But really listening so that you can respond from a thoughtful place. It was once told to me that the most meaningful things that somebody will ever say to you is usually their last statement.
Mm.
But we often want to jump in before that. So, like, somebody pauses and it's silent and we get awkward and we jump in and we ask another question, when really that was when, like, the gem was just about to fall. And we miss it because we are so uncomfortable with, like, the unknown of the not knowing. Just give it a second. Just really listen. Not listening to get, you know, to get somewhere, get your point across. So
yeah, it makes people really they call them uncomfortable silences.
Yeah.
People don't like that. And it's okay to let that marinate a little bit. Just be quiet and just let that sink in and not jump in right after.
Right.
We're used to doing that. I think our society teaches us that. Okay, now. You done? Okay, now me. Me.
My turn.
So, basically, I was talking about new activists and how to communicate with them, because it seems like there's a lot of miscommunication. Yes, within the URL, but since we're talking about activism here, there's miscommunication. So we want to pull in new activists in, and so that's why CPJC is formulating or actually hosting this event called Bash Black Friday Bash. It's on Friday after Thanksgiving, so it's Thursday, Friday. And it is November 25th.
Nice.
And it's at the Chico Women's Club, and it starts at 8 p.m. Doors open at 8 p.m., and we have four bands, and it's 8 p.m. till 12 the next day, and it's an all-age event.
Wow.
So it's not only, so this is for people that have that energy, that have maybe activists for a while and kind of took a break and want to do something but don't know where to go.
Right.
And then there's new activists too, right? So it's anti-consumerism event. It we're asking all people who attend to bring lightly used toys. And that is that's the anti-consumerism effect. But we are going to donate those toys to local community organizations like Love Chapman Town, and then also the African American Cultural Center in Oroville.
Beautiful.
So there's going to be four bands. It's $5. And also we're going to have a table that has information on open volunteer positions in different organizations that you can just fill right there. If you want to do something, say you want to do something about the environment, we'll have positions open that you can see in other organizations like, oh, there's something going on in Grub. There's something going on at Food Not Bombs, things like that. So they can just plug in right away.
Great. And that's coming up right the day after Thanksgiving.
The day after Thanksgiving, November 25th, 8 p.m., there's going to be a food truck, four bands, all age event, 8 to 12 p.m. at the Chico Women's Club. Bring a lightly used toys to donate to a local community. It's kind of like you can use this as a starter kit. If you have little activists in your family that want to do something, this is an event. This is a good starter kit for them.
Great. Sounds amazing. So we're going to be transitioning here soon and inviting Ty Mendoza and a local artist and activist who has been participating in a demonstration in regards to Standing Rock. And so I'm curious if you have any last videos you want to share, Armenta, or we're going to share one of these songs that you chose.
Aramenta,
sorry.
Aramenta. We can play a song.
Play a song.
Yeah.
So, is this one good? This Fool's
Which
Paradise?
How about something from Marvin Gaye?
Okay, here we go. All right, we are bringing it back here a second, folks. All right.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me.
Sister,
so you can see.
Sister,
oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
Oh,
right, baby. Right, baby.
Right.
Welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. We have been talking with Araminta Hawkins from the Chico Peace and Justice Center. Love and social justice is a real thing. Feeling the passion, feeling the energy, feeling alive. It is in the air and in these times. And we are joined right now by Ty Mendoza, a local artist and activist who has recently been participating in some demonstrations himself. Thank you so much, Ty, for joining us.
Nice. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So maybe you can share a bit about, you know, what you have been activated by and why.
Yeah. So, I have really been inspired and inflamed by, you know, the protectors and this whole movement and, you know, standing up for Native rights and Native lands, you know, protesting corporate oil and their kind of oppressive, more take what they want, you know, agenda, you know.
Absolutely.
I haven't personally been to the Standing Rock reservation, but, you know, there's been a couple people in my peer group and community that have gone and experienced it firsthand. I've definitely had more of a social media presence and just bringing awareness, you know, to my circle of people. And I feel it's really important just to be aware of, you know, what's going on and why this is become such a big movement, and that this is just one instance of something that's been going on for many, many years, and that I feel now that in this time with such a blessing of having, you know, this technology of smartphones and social media platforms where we can share information instantly, it has really blown up and become in the forefront of, you know, everyone's kind of awareness.
Yeah, and the point, you know, to just bring emphasis to that around social media, it was only really publicized through social media for, you know, the first months, like before Amy Goodman really picked it up and started bringing it on to Democracy Now.
Yeah.
It was not publicized. It was something that was completely kept from the media, even though there was thousands of people protesting for months what was going on. And I just want to emphasize another thing that you said around protectors, like that the whole presentation of this effort is in the sacredness of the practice. Like, they're not protesters, that they are protectors. They are protectors of the waters, and that they're taking a stand for the land, for Standing Rock. It's not that they're fighting for it. Like, they're standing up for their rights. And so it seems to some like such a subtle difference, but it's such a subtle difference that it's so important to what's going on.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, I think it's really important to note that, like, this is their land. You know, this is land that was, you know, given to them in a sense, you know, where the Treaty of 1851 was kind of written that, you know, this is your land that you can do what you like with.
Right.
And, you know, for Dakota Access to come through and just kind of plow their way through without, you know, having the tribe's input is something that kind of needs to be acknowledged, that, like, this is how the natives of this land have been treated for centuries, and that, you know, without the respect of their word or the input to, you know, situations that are going on in this country.
Absolutely. And for people that are curious about finding out more information about what's going on or how to support the efforts, do you have any good suggestions for where they can find that information?
A lot of my information that I've been tuning into a lot has been through Instagram accounts that are of people who are there first-handed, you know, at the front lines, people who are, you know, trending and using their thread to just push information out constantly, you know.
Right.
And it's I feel it's pretty accurate, you know. You're really getting to see firsthand what they're doing. There's a couple GoFundMe accounts that I've seen for if you want to support you know, financially and have the means to, or, you know, looking to local activist groups and organizations that are doing kind of fundraisers for supplies and food and, you know, things that can assist the people out there.
Absolutely.
You know, doing the good work.
Absolutely. And it's so important to, you know, to do what we can to find out what's going on. And a big thing about that, you know, that they're trending and that they're posting as frequently as possible, that a lot of what my friends have been posting as well that have been out there for months is that it gets deleted almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
Like there's people, you know, that do not want this information to be out. And when we say that they're on the front lines, like they are on the front lines. These people are being shot at with like rubber bullets and pepper spray. And like they are doing nothing but standing in the way. Mm-hmm. And they're the police officers that are there are working, obviously, not in the betterment of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and as I say that, I do want to acknowledge, you know, the articles that I read about officers that have stood down from their duty.
Yeah.
And that's a really powerful, you know, and difficult thing to do, I'm sure. But like, you know, it's crazy times out there. And so when we're talking about what these people are out there, you know, protecting, it's not like they're just sitting there. They are really defending the water with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, Ty. Is there anything that you want to add in terms of what, you know, anything you want to share in order to inspire, in order to activate somebody else that might be listening that's thinking, you know, yeah, I have some free time, or maybe I have, you know, some extra money, like any words that like are really alive in your heart that you feel like you want to share with people that are listening?
Yeah, use your gifts. You know, if you are a musician, if you're an artist, if you're a crafter, you know, whatever it may be that, you know, is alive in your heart to really bring your gifts to, you know, for the good of, you know, your community, for your family, for future generations, you know, use that to, you know, fuel this like momentum and this this movement, because that's really where, on the individual level, you can kind of really have an impact, is using your skills, using your talents and your gifts to just fight for what you believe in.
Absolutely. So well said, and I think so easily overlooked, is that we don't often think of like, oh, what can I do? What can I do? And it's like, well, what do you love doing?
Mm-hmm.
Do that, and do that in service of others.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you'll be amazed at what you will be able to bring together. Mm. And so, Araminta, are you going to chime in here too and let us know what you're thinking?
I don't want to hog up. I had my time. But, Words of wisdom. Well, I graduated from Chico State. I'm a communications major, so to me it's all about communication. Have an open and honest discussion with a family member, a friend, a coworker.
Bravery.
It's very easy to talk about these issues with people that you really are not associated with, that you see sometimes.
Right.
It's really hard to have these conversations with people that you see every day and that you love, that maybe might have a different point of view as you, and to actually be honest and brave enough to present topics like we just talked about in an empathetic way,
right?
In an honest way,
right?
People like to stray away from that. I say go for it.
Right. And with the same part of that, like, to go back to what I was emphasizing before around, and be ready to listen.
Yeah.
Be ready to listen to where they're at, and not to just condemn them or to scold them, or, you know, because I'm already automatically going on the person's not going to agree with you. But, you know, like, in a way that the person, they feel heard too, because if you want to get somewhere in a conversation, you have to be ready for that. If you're looking for a battle, then, and you're not trying to make, you know, to build a relationship, which isn't actually going to get us anywhere. You know, building walls is not going to get us anywhere.
Right. I get what you're saying, but communication, any one-sided communication is not good.
Right, absolutely.
So that's why I say meaningful communication, communication. And also, go out there and volunteer at your local nonprofit that supports an issue that you are passionate about.
Right.
We need volunteers.
Right. Yeah. And at the very least, promote it on social media. Let people know that what you're doing, what you're interested in, because you'd be surprised how many people share those interests. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we often think that we are alone or we don't want to speak out about how we feel in this world. In reality, that more people than not are feeling the same experiences that we are. And so no better way than to just like to speak it. I mean, it's so easy these days. I mean, if you're on the internet, I know that I'm speaking to a generation here that like we are in the internet generation, but there's also people that are not. So I'm just speaking to that, that if you are part of it, you know, utilize it as a tool instead of mm-hmm. just like, you know, looking at it at the negative form mm-hmm. that we often look at it. Look at it as a big tool that can really leverage not only your community here, like in Chico, but your community, like you were talking mm-hmm. about, Araminta, like the broader the community, our county, our state, our country, our world. Like, we are blessed to be able to have such communication.
And it's most likely not to be censored. It's your own creation.
Right.
These are your words, your stories. They can't censor that. It's mm-hmm. your social media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And create art.
Yes.
Like Ty said, make art. Like,
I like that. Use
make
your
music.
Gifts.
Like,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful what Araminta said. Mm-hmm. Like, music has carried us through
yes.
so many challenging times in this country and in this world. And so how much more beautiful can it be than to share that as something that brings people together? Because mm-hmm. it's like, I'm really into this like subversive concept. I totally am. Like, mm-hmm. of like reaching the masses and they don't even know they're being reached. Mm-hmm. Like, bring people together by positivity and love mm-hmm. and with, you know, with your real intention of whatever your, you know, whatever your motive is in your art, whatever your motive is in your music, and you're gonna change minds and change hearts mm-hmm. before you even know it. So
yeah. With that, I will say Bash Black Friday Bash,
mm-hmm.
Chico Women's Club, November 25th, 8 p.m. Bring a lightly used toy, and learn about how you can plug in to local nonprofits and enjoy some cool music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or go down anytime and talk to Araminta at Chico Peace and Justice Center.
Sure.
She's super rad to connect with and talk to.
Yes,
I've
heard that about myself.
I will concur. Yes. And Ty, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It was nice meeting you.
Yeah,
yeah, nice
and sharing your love.
See you around
in
the crowd.
Look forward
there.
To it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ty's making his art, sharing the sacred ways through his art at the
awesome.
Idea Fab Lab. So great to have you both. And we are going to be segueing now to Ecotopia. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you feel activated. I hope you feel inspired. I hope you fall in love with social justice as much as I do, because it's the times we're living in. It's reality. And there's no better time than now to start doing something about it. So stay tuned for Ecotopia. It's coming up next. Stephen and Susan Chudy, so amazing, beautiful activists talking about the environment and how you can be a part of making the world a better place. So stay tuned for that.
Hey guys, Will Durst here with a few choice words about a wake-up call that would have roused Beethoven, who is, of course, both deaf and dead. And I'm speaking of Donald Trump's surprise victory over Hillary Clinton. The blot heard round the world. And liberals are all a-Twitter. San Francisco is trying to work through the five stages of grief, but it's going to take a while to get past denial. The streets of Hollywood are flooded with the tears of distraught movie stars. And MSNBC's anchors reacted like they had just been told their children had been burned beyond recognition in a meth lab explosion. Even Rachel Maddow. So many depressed lefties investigated leaving the country that the Canadian immigration website crashed. But we're Americans, famous for making lemonade out of lemons, and are totally overlooking the possible bright sides of Donald J. Trump becoming our 45th president. So here's nine to bear in mind. The top nine bright sides of a Donald J. Trump presidency. For the first time ever, teenage boys will collect photos of the First Lady to be viewed under a blanket with a flashlight, one-handed. Congressional Medal of Honor winner Vladimir Putin. Trump supporters once again have other uses for that collection of white sheets gathering dust in the back of the closet. New style in ladies' fashion, the Stepford look. Bill Clinton can finally take that long nap he obviously so desperately needs in Sweden. Four words. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Sarah Palin. Now everybody can see Russia from her house. Civil War buffs have a new international clash to study, where one side has all the guns and the other all the lesbians, so it sort of evens out. Now, orange really is the new black. And finally, no one will ever blame you for developing a drinking problem during the day, at your job, as a grade school teacher. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, and we'll be talking with Jim Brobeck and Barbara Vlamis about the water conference that's coming up Thursday in our town. And we'll talk with them some about the changing nature of politics in our town.
Pink hole.